So this, we're up to the eighth parak of Mesilas Yesharim. And in the eighth chapter, Ramchal talks about Zrizus. So I remember once I picked up a book, a business book. It was by Stephen Covey, called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It was the best-selling business book in its day, 15, 20 years ago.
Sure.
So he writes there, the first thing, the first habit, is put first things first. You know, get things done. You have an idea, just go for it. So that's sort of Zrizus, Lahavdil. You know, Zrizus is in regards to a mitzvah. When there is something to do, be all in. That's right, don't procrastinate, don't be lazy, just run to get things done as soon as possible. And as we saw, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, because we had Tisha B'Av in between, Ramchal says that there are two major hiccups. There's the hiccup of starting, and then there's the hiccup of finishing. So it's hard to start. And many times when you're started and you're like, I don't know, 70% of the way through, now you like have a very hard time closing and getting it all the way done. So for both of those, there's the... This is what we need Zrizus for. We need to tell ourselves we have to go with passion and rush and jump. And Avram Avinu woke up early in the morning. Vayashkim Avram Baboker. We have to jump and have energy to run to do mitzvos. Thank you. So I'm reminded of a vort that I once heard from Rabbi Blachman in Karen Yavne. So he said that the Gemara says, Rashi quotes it in Chumash, that... The Shvatim, the other tribes, were sort of speaking badly or trolling. I guess that would be the new modern word. They were trolling Pinchas. They said, "Haraisem ben Putizeh, have you seen this descendant of a Puti, Shaharag Nasi Shevet B'Yisrael, who killed the leader of a tribe of Israel?" So what is Ben Puti? So there are two explanations of what Ben Puti is. One idea of Ben Puti is he's a descendant of Yosef, Shepitpet B'Yisra. A descendant of Yosef that mocked his evil urge. He had the major trial of the wife of Potiphar, and he could just throw it all away and run away from the wife of Potiphar, mock the evil urge and overcome the evil urge. Or Ben Puti is a reference to Yisro. This one, Shepitem Avi Imo, that the father of his mother fattened up the calves of Avodah Zarah, and yet he went and he killed the Nasi Shevet B'Yisrael. So he seems to be like two total opposites. Yosef, who's mocking the Yetzer Hara, the evil urge, versus Yisro, before he did tshuva, was fattening up the cows for the offerings for Avodah Zarah. So Rav Lachman said, no, there's a common denominator to both. There was no ambivalence in either of these people. When Yisro was in Avodah Zarah, he was all in Avodah Zarah. He was fattening up the cows. And when Yosef was going to do the will of Hashem, he was all into the will of Hashem. Pit pit be Yisro, the evil urge is just laughing at it. He's all in. So that's where Pinchas comes. That Pinchas also is all in. He sees Zimri and Cusby and a plague and no meetings and discussions and drawing up plans and analyses. It's just right away, jumping to do. So that's Zrizus. The attribute of Zrizus is to have a passion. We have a chance to do a mitzvah, to rush, to do it with alacrity, with great zeal, with great passion, and to do it with all energy. So till now we've spoken about what Zrizus is, and where is there a challenge for Zrizus. So in the eighth chapter, Ramchal discusses how to acquire this attribute. B'derech knias ha-Zrizus, in the way of acquiring passion, alacrity. Hinei ha-emtzayim asher nikna b'hem ha-Zrizus, it's the same way to acquire care. And it's the same differences. In other words, the more righteous people, they have an easier way or one way, and the more, let's say, lowly people have a different way. As I've explained above. Because they're actually very close to each other. Zrizus is how you fulfill a positive mitzvah. Zehirus, being careful, is how you fulfill the prohibitions. So number one. Kasher yitamet etzel ha'adam godel erech ha'mitzvah. If it becomes true to a person, the greatness of the value of a mitzvah, the rov chovaso bahem, and how great is his obligation in them, vadai sheyisorer libo, that will arouse his heart el ha'avoda, to work, velo yisrapa mimena, and he won't let it go. I have a book at home. It's called Da'as Tfila. So it's like 600 pages almost. All about Tfila. But it doesn't explain the Siddur. And it doesn't go through the lines of the Prakim of Tehillim. It's just an argument that Tfila is so, so important. So he goes through very wide ways. He speaks about how there's a discussion in the philosophers, what is the purpose of the creation of the world? Why did God have to make a world? What does he need a world for? He's infinite. What does he need a world for? So one classic idea is, we can't with logic come up with why there's a world, but the Navi told us God made a world because a world could increase his honor. That's the pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya, Kol HaNikra, all that is called Bishmi, in my name, Lichvodi, for my honor. Rasiv, I formed it, created it, Yitzartiv, I formed it, Afasitiv, I even made it. So Kol HaNikra Bishmi, all that's called in my name, Lichvodi, for my honor, Rasiv, Yitzartiv, Afasitiv. He made a world so that his honor would be increased. In shorthand, philosophical shorthand, it's called Lema'an Malchuso, for the sake of his kingship. He's the melech, he's the king. And then there's another explanation. Why did God make the world? God made the world because he's a Baal Chesed. And a Baal Chesed, he's a Baal Chesed. He's a very kind, generous, giving being. And giving beings love to give. That's another pasuk. Tov Hashem Lakol. God is good to all. Rachamav, and his compassion is al kol ma'asav. So because he's good, he made a world. So he says that is what tefillah is. With tefillah we show God's honor, because we show that the things that we want in life, we couldn't get it on our own. We had to pray, and only through prayer we got Hashem's help, and then we got them. And through tefillah we show that God is a Baal Chesed. We want things, and here we pray for them, and then God grants them. So God's the one granting. So we see that he is a Baal Chesed. He made a world to do Chesed. So prayer is such a big deal. This is the chance to achieve the purpose of creation itself. Malchuso, Chazdo, and other, all sorts of other points. You know, other ideas are that God made the world so that the physical would also be filled with godliness, to show that godliness reaches everywhere, even to the physical realm. That's why prayer is about very material matters, to show that even the material comes from God, is in God's hands. Prayer is literally the foundation of the world. That's what the Gemara says in Brachos, that what are the Dvarim Ha'omdim Berumo Shel Olam, the matters that stand at the height of the world, is prayer. Prayer is one of the things that are omed in Berumah Shel Olam. It stands at the height of the world. So this whole book, these 550 pages or 600 pages, it's all to tell us that prayer is really, really important. It's a really, really big deal. Ramchal says, if we feel that any mitzvah is a really big deal, then we would run to do it. So often we're not running because we don't realize how big the stakes are and how valuable a mitzvah is. But if I realize that a mitzvah is a huge deal, I'd be running to do it. In Rav Kook's writings on Orot HaTshuvah, Rav Kook says the following. He said, modern science has discovered that really every item of matter is made up of billions tiny, tiny, tiny little particles called atoms. So small, no one has ever been able to see an atom. It's impossible for a human eye with all the cameras and sensors and blowing things up billions of times. It's impossible for a camera to capture a single atom. And yet, if this tiny atom, if you can figure out how to split it, it's tiny, it's such a tiny little thing. You can figure out how to split one atom that sets off, that turns this mass into so much energy, it's an atom bomb that wipes out a whole city, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. And it's a tiny, tiny thing. I remember once seeing a TED talk about atoms, how like you want to figure out the size of an atom. Like imagine MetLife Stadium, and if an atom would be blown up to be the size of MetLife Stadium, the mass of the atom, the nucleus, which is what's split in a nuclear explosion, the nucleus, would be the size of a single little marble. So imagine you had this tiny little marble in a huge stadium that could seat 100,000 people, MetLife Stadium. This little marble, that's the amount of mass we're talking about. And it's really much, much, much smaller. You take that little mass and you split it, and a whole city could be destroyed. Rav Kook writes. He said, so a small thing is really big. If that's true in the physical realm, it's true in every mitzvah. Every little mitzvah is explosive. It's got the power to set off huge explosions. There's a fellow who I'm not in touch with him, but you know, we used to be in touch a little bit. He's a Hollywood producer. His name is David Sachs. So David Sachs, he got a couple of Emmys for something called Third Rock from the Sun and The Simpsons. He was a writer on The Simpsons. So he's a Baal Tshuva. So his story about how he became a Baal Tshuva is really an amazing story. He grew up on the West Side, Reform family, but because they're on the West Side, they used to run into Shlomo Kalbach. So he had a bar mitzvah in the Kalbach Shul. He had a connection to Rabbi Kalbach, but he really wasn't religious. He went to Bronx High School of Science. He had some connection to religion, and he really wanted to go to Harvard. So, you know, he applied for Harvard, and he said to God, God, if I get into Harvard, I'm going to do something for you. So he got this letter. He was accepted into Harvard. So he said, wow, now I got into Harvard. I have to do something for God. But you know, he wasn't religious at all. So he decided what he'll do for God is he'll tie his shoelaces the right way. He had heard that there's a halacha that when you put on your shoes, you put on the right shoe first, left shoe second, but you tie left shoe first and right shoe second. It sounded like really funny to him, and he's a comedian. He said, I'm going to keep this law. I'm going to always tie my shoelaces the right way. And that's what he was. He got into Harvard, he tied his shoelaces the right way. He didn't keep anything else. So in Harvard, they have a comedy newspaper called the Harvard Lampoon. So he was part of the Harvard Lampoon with somebody called Conan O'Brien. And eventually, when he finished, he went out to California to try to find a job, you know, writing jokes in Hollywood. But there are like 17,000 people writing jokes, and there are only 50 people who have jobs. So he knew it was going to be really hard to find a job. So he did get a job with HBO on a show that was sort of like the predecessor to The Daily Show. It was called I Can't Believe It's Not the News. And he was writing for this show, and he was hired like in spring. So he was writing for the show. He said, God, I have to do something for you. You know, now he gave me the job. He got me to Harvard, and I have to do something more. So he said, okay, I'm going to start to keep Shabbos. But he didn't tell the people on the show he was keeping Shabbos. So then when it came now this season, you know, August, September, and days start to get shorter, so he told his bosses, you know, I have to leave Friday afternoon because I keep Shabbos. So they were, you know, very, very down on it. They said, you're not going to get a job in this town if you're not going to be there for Friday nights when there's the rewrite and everything has to be worked on. his agent said he was going to drop him. But he said, listen, I have to keep Shabbos. I'm happy to come back later. I'm happy to, can dock my pay, but I have to keep Shabbos. And in the end, they did allow him to stay. He kept Shabbos. And eventually became fully, Shomer Torah Mitzvos. But it all started with, how to put on the shoes. 4 years of putting on the right shoe first and the left shoe, but tying the left shoe first and then tying the right shoe. So that's Rav Kook's idea that every small mitzvah is like an atom. It's like huge. It's infinite. It's such a big deal. We might think it's a small deal, but it's really such a big deal, and it can have such an explosive impact upon us. So Ramchal says if we realize how big things are and how great the obligation is, then we would have a zeal to fulfill them. So what's going to inspire us to realize the stakes? Says Ramchal, Amnam mashi yuchal lagbir es orus hazeh, ho yistaklus birov hatovo shakadosh baruch hu osei ma'adam achal esu v'achal shah. One thing we can do is think about how many favors God does for us. And the amazing wonders God does from our beginning until our last day. The more we think about these amazing miracles, then we would feel a tremendous obligation and a zeal for God who does so much good. And through thinking about how much we owe God, we won't be lazy in our service. Since certainly I can't give back to God as much as He's done for me, at least I should thank Him, and I should run to fulfill His commandments. So why should a person be so thankful? Oh, thank you. Says Ramchal, there's no person in any situation, im ani v'mashir, whether poor or rich, im bari v'mchole, whether wealthy or healthy or ill, whether ashir, whether rich or poor, shlo yira niflos v'tovos rabos v'matzava, who's seeing amazing wonders in his situation. He ashir v'abari, someone who's both healthy and wealthy. He owes so much to God for being so wealthy and for being so healthy. And a poor person owes so much thanks to God. That even though he's poor, he's surviving, which is a miracle. He doesn't know how he makes it. It's a miracle. He hasn't died in starvation yet. That's amazing. And he hasn't died. Someone who's sick. That despite the illness, he's still alive. He doesn't fall to the lowest levels. And all of these thoughts. So every person should feel a tremendous sense of obligation to his Creator. When he looks at all these good things that he gets from God, that should inspire him to run to serve God. Moshe Kasafti Lamal, as I've explained above. Kol Shekain, and certainly in Yisbonin Eos Kol Tuvo Talu Biyadu Yisbarach, that all of his good is dependent on God. O Mashe Mitzdarech Lo, Mashe Muchuch Elav, whatever he needs. Mimenu Yisbarach, who comes from God, Lo Me'acher, not from anyone else. Asher Alkein Vadai Shlo Yis'atzel Me'avod Avodas Yisbarach, so that should inspire him not to be lazy. Rather, he should serve God. He shouldn't be missing whatever he needs. And you see, for those who are of great understanding, just think about the obligation, how important the actions are. Those who are lower, think about the next world, and for that world we should be passionate. And even for the lowly ones, just because of this world, we owe so much to God, we need so much from God, that should inspire us to be passionate, as I've explained there above.